This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast with me, Ross Cooper. And today I am joined by the one and only Matt Trutwin. Matt, how are you?
Very well, very well. It's always good when you're hosting. You always give the best build-ups. Just, hopefully I can live up to it.
But yeah, I try and... You know, I try and get some superlatives in there, you know. although I did make it on that little... I can't remember who it was. I don't know if you ever saw it. That guy made like a compilation of people saying that you run out of superlatives.
Yeah, I did.
And I made it into that. So one week I will probably run out of superlatives for our guests. But no, it's great to have you, Matt. And how have you been? How did you feel with the international break coming to an end? I don't know about you. I always find them tedious, particularly at this sort of stage of the season. Were you raring for the club football to be back?
Yeah, I don't want to say bittersweet, but I think we picked up on it in the preview pod this week. I am quite a big international fan myself as well, so I know that's almost a bit of a taboo thing to say now. You know, it's almost an expectation that people are 100% focused to the domestic side or the club side. But I am one of those remaining international football fans. But at the same time, obviously, of course, a massive COV fan. So always pleased to get back to club action, to be honest. So even with just a short break or a couple of games of the international window, it does feel like it, you know, it's time to get back to club football and not just Coventry, just the leagues as a whole. So yeah, glad to get back to it.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, I think it sort of helped that our game was on the Friday because it felt like we got to the sort of midway point of the international break and it was like, oh, actually, it's only five days away, right? You know, obviously it was only a day difference, but it sort of mentally, it was like, okay, it's this week now before the weekend is upon us. We're going to have our game. So we'll obviously get into the game shortly. But what did you sort of make of the first sort of chunk of games, you know, going into the international break? Were you pretty satisfied with where we were at? Clearly, obviously not as many wins on the board as we were sort of hoping, but obviously only one defeat. Were you feeling encouraged?
Yeah, largely. I think the word for me at the moment is patience. Yeah. You can't have as much change as we've had as a football club and not, you know, potentially have a few things that you still need to iron out, a few things that you need to work out throughout the course of maybe the first even half of the season, maybe even longer. So for me, you lose that many players, you add that many players, you lose so many significant players, you add a lot of players for big transfer fees, which we're not used to as a fan base. There's going to be people kind of erring on the side of caution around saying transitional summer or transitional window, or whatever way you look at it. And this, you can have your own expectations around where we might finish this season. Regardless, it's certainly a transitional period for us as a football club. That's really inarguable with the amount of change that we've had this summer. So I've been encouraged largely because, look, we haven't got maybe necessarily the points that we would like because we've drawn a lot of games. But it does feel like once everything clicks together, we are going to be a really
we're going to be a good
team.
Side, aren't we? Yeah.
Exactly. We've already looked, you know, more than competitive in pretty much all of the games that we've played. We've only lost the one, and that was against probably the team that's going to, if not win the league, certainly go up. And other than that, we've even in that game we probably
shouldn't have lost that. Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, you know, you would say there's been opportunity for us to pick up a lot more points than we have done. So you look at it and you see the areas where maybe things haven't perfectly clicked, but you know naturally, or in my opinion, we're naturally going to improve because of the fact of we've had so much change. It's really hard to imagine that just organically we aren't going to get better anyway, because these players have got it embedded into the football club. So yeah, I've been encouraged, although obviously we probably would have liked a few more points, but I don't think it's been a bad start at all, especially when you factor in it's not been an easy start to the season in terms of the teams we've played as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm someone who I find the international breaks sort of tedious, but actually I did feel like this one came at a good time, in the sense that obviously after the Watford game there was a couple of injury niggles, wasn't there? So I thought actually having those 2 weeks to hopefully get Van Avac and get Da Silva and Kitchen, you know, people like that who obviously just arrived, and get them all settled in and get them back fit was probably, you know, a good thing. And obviously hopefully being able to have a sort of in the week leading up to the whole game, try and do work on some more stuff on the training ground. So let's obviously get into the game. Hull away, not that they're no mugs. They're a decent side. I think they've got a really good sort of promising upcoming manager who I think will have a really decent career, to be fair. I always think he comes across really well in sort of interviews. He speaks, you know, obviously very highly of sort of Mark Robbins, but he's obviously got that sort of modern day youthful manager sort of energy on the touchline, but he sort of comes across like he's quite humble in knowing where he is. You know, I heard him interviewed after he sort of lost the job at Derby, potentially, you know, slightly harsh, but he came across ever so well then. And I think Hull is probably a really good fit for him. And obviously they've got that takeover, which happened a year or so ago, and building a decent side with some good players in there. You know, obviously we all know the result, a 1-1 draw. What was your overriding takeaway from the game on Friday, Matt?
Both myself and Dave, I think, predicted a defeat in this one. I agree with what you've said, to be honest with you. I think they're a good squad now. It feels like, obviously, they're a season behind us, I believe, in terms of their progression of when they came up to this level. And they've pretty much relatively solidly established themselves as a championship team, similar to how we did, you know, maybe a season ahead of them in terms of where we are, because they've got some good players. But again, they're probably in that mold that we were a season and more ago, whereby a lot of the talent potentially, or a good amount of the talent, is on loan. And you're kind of like looking through their squad and saying, yeah, they've got a couple of good players that they own, but past that, a lot of it is on loan, and maybe they need to establish themselves and push on to obviously, you know, get a bit more of a squad of players that aren't necessarily people they're bringing in just for a short period of time. But as far as this game goes, you know, we've got to play what we're up against in terms of what they've got as a squad at the moment. And there's a lot of talented people in that squad, and it's shown through the first five or six games of the season already. They obviously went to Leicester before the international break on the first side to get any points from them, and did it in their own backyard. So that in itself was impressive, but there were impressive results before that, and they sat in the top six fairly. You know, it's not really by fortune or fluke. It's deserved based on what they've done in the run of the games that they've had so far this season. So for me, really dangerous game, difficult game. I think in terms of the nature of the result, it's always frustrating when you concede late on to not go on and win the game. So that's frustrating, especially when we've had so many draws and you're looking to see us turn those into victories. I think when you step back from it, and obviously we've had a little bit of time now to remove ourselves from the fact we did concede late on, the actual result in itself for me,
it's a good result.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. The nature of the game, we went ahead relatively early in the game, and then, you know, we're away from home against a good side, we're probably going to sit off a little bit from that perspective. So you look at some of the stats and, you know, they look maybe a bit more dominant than the feel of the game actually seemed as you were watching the 90 minutes play out. But also, that's probably going to be the case when you're ahead for a good portion of the game away from home. You're going to let them maybe have a bit more of the ball, and they're going to have they are going to create chances, bar a couple of slip ups, a couple of moments of lack of concentration from us. I don't think they created a great deal of unbelievable chances.
No, they didn't. And I think it was one of those, obviously, like, there was periods in both halves, actually, where, as we sort of said at the top of the podcast, we are, I think the last couple of years, we've sort of said, oh, we're close to being like a really, a consistently very good side. I feel like we actually have all the ingredients now. I just think it's just bringing them, you know, together to sort of make, I think we've got everything in front of us. You know, I look at the bench and I go, wow, we've actually got players there who didn't even make an appearance. We're, you know, we've actually got strength and depth. He can turn around and he can see Jamie Allen, Sakamoto, Casey Palmer, O'Hare's very close to coming back, and Ellis Sims. You know, you got the great depth. Mm. And there was periods in both halves where it sort of clicked and there was some unbelievable football, you know. And I guess going to the sort of start of the game in terms of the obviously the team news, were you sort of surprised with, you know, the changes? I mean, there was obviously, I mean, I was pretty shocked. I'd have probably put my mortgage on Kitchen starting, because I just thought in my head, I was like, well, Latabodier and Palmer, you read Robin's quotes, and I was like, yeah, they're definitely not going to be starting. And then I was like, well, Ayari, he's been away, so who knows? And I thought, well, obviously Kitchen's going to come in, and this is his chance then to be in his left centre-back role. And obviously then Fads and Bobby Thomas, but the team news came out, and what was your sort of thoughts, Matt? You know, no Bobby Thomas, Latabodier starting, Louis Binks getting his first start. I mean, that, I think, raised a few eyebrows, but by all accounts, he'd been very impressive in training. And probably he's been there, obviously, a few more weeks than Kitchen. Do you think he has deserved to be given an opportunity rather than just be sort of cast aside again for the new guy coming in? What did you make of the team?
Yeah, I would agree. I think when we signed somebody for the amount of money that we reportedly have signed Kitchen for, you're kind of saying this is somebody who's been brought into play. You know, we obviously will have players. Kind of use it as a comparison with a Sakamoto. Everybody seems to be a little bit losing their mind with the fact Sakamoto doesn't seem to be getting the opportunities that people might have thought he would be getting at this stage, because we signed him for £1.5 million. And, you know, okay, I get it. The last 15 seasons, we haven't done that. I think Hamer's the only player we've signed for over £1 million in the last 15 years. But that shows how different this summer has been, whereby if you sign somebody for that amount of money now at this football club, it doesn't guarantee you anything. You're going to have to work your way into the team. And it's all about, as you rightly mentioned, competition for places, having that strength in depth that's able to say, look, we've got people who can come off the bench, or even we can rest players for a period of time and bring them back in. They're the kind of options that we're going to have now that we probably haven't had in the past, or we certainly haven't had in the past. So going back to the point on Kitching, if you spend over £4 million, we're still at a point where you expect him to come in and certainly get into the team. So it was surprising that you thought somebody from the defence, most likely Latabodier, is going to miss out because of the international break. It reportedly they only came back on Thursday, so it seemed unlikely for either him and Palmer to come back into the team. And I thought it just made sense for Kitchen to get a start. But yeah, as you say, Binks, all the talk has been that he obviously has played or performed really well in training over the last couple of weeks, and I'm sure beyond that. So yeah, it probably felt like he was just maybe a little bit more prepared to come in at this stage and fill in for a change that he wanted to make with Thomas. And again, it goes back to that point. Thomas obviously had his worst game for us against Watford before the break, and it shows now, you know, if you do drop off to any level, there are people there ready to come in. So yes, I was a bit surprised that Thomas maybe came out, but maybe we shouldn't be surprised by that kind of stuff now, because maybe in prior seasons that wouldn't have happened off the back of one game. But now you are in a situation, in most positions, you are going to lose your spot.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't have happened in previous years because we just didn't have, do you know what I mean? We didn't have the numbers, did we? I mean, you look at the defenders, and you know, Binks came in, and I thought, you know, being there in the ground, watching him live, I actually thought he proved, actually, yeah, he doesn't look out of place, you know. So we've got five centre-backs there who, if you have a poor game, you are going to lose your shirt. I think, you know, like you said, previous seasons, you know, we've sometimes had like one player per position, You know, we had Bidwell just had the left wing back slot, you know, last year. He could play as bad or as you know, as he wanted to, say, and he would never lose his shirt. Whereas now, through the centre backs, you know, Fads is probably the only one who you go, he's nailed on, guaranteed to start, because he just is the glue and brings everything together. But if De Silva falls off the edge, then Bidwell's ready to step in. And then the same with all the other positions, really. And with O'Hare coming back, that's going to put extra pressure on. So, I thought, I mean, it was a bit of a... And then obviously the other big one to talk about was Liam Kelly coming in and the injury that we now know, because he wasn't initially, it was like, there was all the rumours on Twitter, everyone's going, there's no Ben Sheaf in the squad. And I was thinking, oh no. And then it turns out he's had like a tear in the sort of groin, and Robbins used the word weeks rather than months. So I guess that's something, but that's a big blow, isn't it, Matt? Yeah. That is very disappointing.
Yeah, it's probably the one player you'd have said, if we were going to lose somebody, who would you least want that to be? And it'd I probably would have said Sheaf, just because we've got talented players around the pitch. But as we say about strength and depth, you look at who potentially can come in to replace them and do a job whilst they're out, and you think, well, we've probably got other options. If we lost a centre back, as much as we don't want that to happen, you've got quality that can come in. You've got a 4. Whatever million pound ready to go on the bench, and maybe the same up front. I know people are not overly sold on Sims because of the start that he's had, but you know, somebody wasn't available up front and we had to bring Sims in. I think actually that would be an opportunity almost for him to flourish, rather than coming on with short amount of time and maybe the game plan has changed rather than going for a goal. So in other areas of the pitch, you kind of say, okay, well, it's not ideal, but we could live with it a bit better. And centre midfield, obviously, after the the transfer window closed, that was the one position people were saying that's where we look a bit light. And I think it's a fine balance, because yes, you ideally probably wanted somebody else coming in centre midfield during the window, but also we don't want to sign people on loan. Obviously, that's a clear message. Yep. We're going to be spending money on people. So then you've got to have a balance of how that works. You can't bring people in and just have loads of them not available to be in the squad or sitting on the bench for weeks and weeks on end. So it's a really difficult balance when you're looking at who you're going to bring in centre midfield. So it's a tricky one. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what you think. What do you reckon long term, in terms of if he is out, I've heard potentially up to maybe 8 weeks, what would you think is the best option for us to kind of cover that area? Because it's a tricky one, isn't it?
It's a tricky one, because I think, like you said, centre mid is the one position you wouldn't have wanted like a reasonably long term injury for. I think I totally agree with you. I didn't want us to sign any old centre mid for the sake of it. We clearly wanted to do something. And I'm sure when January comes, regardless of anyone's injury situation, we will go out and we're probably looking now at, okay, who are we gonna buy? Mm. Ben Sheaf is real blow, because you know, Kelly and Eccles, I thought they did fine, but neither of them have got a particularly sort of robust injury record. You wouldn't hang your hat on either of them going through to January without picking up an injury. I'd be pretty pleasantly surprised and pumped if they did. But then you look beyond that and you go, you know, does it open up the door for Latabodier to come into a central defensive midfield role? Which I know Robbins had sort of, when he was asked about it, was slightly sort of, it came across slightly reluctant, but obviously then Sheaf's injury. I guess then the obvious one is Jamie Allen. And I think And again, he's someone who, again, he hasn't got the most robust of injury records. So I think that's the problem now, that I think that I'm nervous that we are one other injury in that position away from really being down to bare bones already, which is not ideal. But I think Josh Eccles has actually been a lot more robust when he has been in centre mid. I think it was when he was right wing back, he ended up picking up these injuries. And that might be nothing to do with the position, but maybe it is. And I don't know. I mean, there's always been periods in Robbins' tenure where there's been injuries and that somehow like almost forced his hand to have to make a change, whether it was Jody Jones getting injured in League Two and him having to change the formation to a 4-4-2, or whether it was Tony Andrew the year after or the League One winning season when we then went to the original, the box, the first time from a 4-3-3 to a 5-3-4-2-1 sort of thing. And, so I don't know. I think at this point it will continue and persist, but there's There's certainly things he's got to think about because Ben Sheaf is a crucial player. And I think what he just gives you that physicality. I thought Liam Kelly did look quite sharp, which was good, because sometimes with Liam Kelly, I do worry that I thought when I looked at Hull's midfield, Seri, and I thought could be, you know, yeah, Twine. There's a lot of energy, a lot of legs, power. But actually, I thought they did well. And Ayari, here's the question for you. When we signed Ayari, I thought he was a centre mid. But when I've watched him, I'm like, and Robbins, when he talked about his sort of off the ball defensive running, I was like, yeah, he does not trust putting him in centre mid right now. But I have to say, I thought he was unbelievable. I thought he looked an absolute sort of joke, to be fair. Some of his stuff he was doing was Hamer, literally was Hamer. Like the sort of, not the off the ball closing down, but with the ball, the little flicks, the sort of no look passes. He looked very, very good. And there was that period in the first half when we got the goal. And let's come on to the goal now then. Josh Eccles with a nice corner. And I can't remember the last time we scored direct from a corner like that. But Joel Latabaudière, you know, Robbins had conned us all into thinking he wasn't going to play. And then he started and scored. It was a great header and nice for one of the new signings to get the first, on the score sheet for the first time this season, isn't it?
Yeah, he's somebody who's really bedded into the club nicely. I think one of the things for me that may be a concern when you have so much change, we've built such a nice atmosphere around the football club, that connection between the fans and the players, but also the connection that you have within the club as well, amongst the players themselves. And he's somebody who seems to really have come in as a new player, but taken the lead with kind of making sure that relationship between the players and the fans is really good. Seems like a good character around the training pitch, and just a generally good character as well. So he's definitely one of the pluses of the season so far for me. He's somebody actually, when it comes to free transfers, I knew that there were going to have to be some impact of free transfers coming into the club. And when I looked at people who were free, as you tend to do, and available, then you kind of say, right, a balance between relatively young, but also can still have an impact and do something for the club. And he was one that specifically stood out for me. So I was delighted when I signed him. And I think, going back to the goal itself, it's really poor, I guess, actually, from a Hull perspective. If that's the other way around,
and
there were a couple of chances that they had which were similar, then you'd be absolutely fuming, because he's just completely free. And it's not like he does some crazy zigzag run to get free, or
he just stands there, doesn't he?
Move. He just kind of stands there and is left free. So it's a nice ball by Eccles. It's a really good header. I don't want to make that sound like I'm taking anything away from Latabaudière. Yeah, it's an outswinging corner, so he has to put the direction
and the pace power
back onto the ball. So it's a really good header, not to take anything away from it. And it's really good, obviously, that we do appear to have that threat still from corners and set pieces. So, really good header, really good goal from his perspective. But if that's against us, you're absolutely fuming. It's a terrible piece of marking and defending.
It is. And then I guess that leads on to the big chance that they had, which was a corner as well. And it was actually Latabaudière, Greaves just pulled away from him, and he had a completely free header, and he headed it back into the path of Aaron Connolly. And from where I was sat, I just was the thought, right, the net's going to board, and somehow he pulled it wide. But that was, again, I'd have been equally as fuming, because I just think you have to win that first contact. And that's the only thing with Latabaudière, he's not like the tallest. I mean, he looked like he really, on the ball, he's now we've seen him both left side and right side of in the back three, and he looks equally as comfortable. Probably more comfortable on the right, because obviously he's right-footed. But he looked good. But yes, there was that was probably Hull's one chance in that first half. But we then really got a foothold, and we started then playing between the lines, and then we almost made it two. A really nice move. The ball played across the box, and Hadji Wright turning it over the bar. And I thought when I saw it go that high, I thought, well, it must have got a deflection, must be a corner. And then the ref was like, no, goal kick. But that was a good move, wasn't it? And we were really linking up. Like, it feels like we're a threat symmetrical now on both sides. You know, that you go back to 2 years ago, and when we had Ian Matson, it felt like we literally just had a left side. We didn't have a right side to match. Whereas I think Jay De Silva it looks such a good player. I think he is a tremendous free transfer. And then Milan Van Ava, every game, he's just opening up his legs now. And we need to talk about the sprint he did. Like when Philogene, who is no mug for them, was away, he had a 10-yard head start. Mm-hmm. And Milan Van Ava Absolutely. Like Kyle Walker-esque, just reeled him in. And then didn't even just get up to him, then went past him, got to the ball. And the whole stadium almost laughed. Like, sort of just was like, oh my word. I mean, yeah, that was pretty ridiculous to see that pace, because he made him look like a snail. But going forward, his one-touch passing, he was getting so high up. He nice passes with Ayari. And we showed some good quality, didn't we? In that there was, from maybe 25 minutes in that first half, when we'd gone to Hull, and I thought, wow, a tough place to go. They're a good team. But for 25 minutes in that first half, we looked like a level above them, because it was starting to click, apart from that very final, because there was Jada Silva had a chance, didn't he? And he didn't know whether to cross or shoot. And it's just that final moment, isn't it, in the final third that we're just lacking, because if we start turning in those chances, you go 2-0 up, but I think it's game over.
Yeah. It's fine margins, isn't it? You are right. Some of those chances, maybe just that level of sharpness or getting used to to playing at a new club or whatever it might be. But there are a few opportunities in there where you look at the build-up play and you think that was fantastic. I mean, even going back to the goal, the corner came from such a incisive piece of play. I think it got went into Hadji Wright in midfield, one touch ball over the top down the right wing. I think it was to Van Uyck, and he shows what he can do in terms of his pace. And if that ball doesn't get cut out, it's probably easily turned in for 2-0. And as you say, 2-0, that's going to be a real difficult kind of mountain for them to overcome. So we're really nice touches of football. But again, it's just the fine margins, the taking your chances, maybe just a little bit of sharpness. Hadji Wright looks a fantastic footballer to me, but there are a few chances coming his way, which you just kind of like thinking, a little bit more on it, a little bit sharper. The goals are going to come for him. And that was probably indicative of that period of time after we went 1-0 up. There was some fantastic football.
We want to be ruthless, don't we? We're just not quite ruthless yet. Yeah, you look at Leicester.
Maybe the final decision as well, like De Silva. I think it looks like he's indecisive between a cross or a shot. Actually, I'm pretty sure he's gone for a shot, but it's the wrong decision, to be honest with you, in that position. He's got a real difficult job of trying to score from that position. But if he plays into the middle, I think Godden's right there with almost a tap in if he plays the right ball. So it's just it's a little bit of sharpness. Going back to the chance for Connolly as well, I did want to mention that again, another sign of sharpness. That for me was a real, that you can get caught out in a game of football and concede goals and maybe say, okay, well, we were pulled out of position, so that's why something's gone wrong. There were so many issues with that moment for me, which we should be using them as such a strong example. I'm sure Robbins will be over the next coming days ahead of Cardiff. Not just the fact that their initial header was essentially able to pull away, the man was able to pull away quite simply and get a free header on it. But Connolly, he stood on the keeper, if you watch it, stood on the keeper. In 99% of occasions, you'll have a defender trying to stop him from bothering the keeper, trying to prevent the keeper from coming out, making a catch or whatever he's trying to do. But he stood on the keeper. And then when he sees it's out swinging, he obviously knows, right, his job with the keeper's done. He reacts straight away and pulls into a position of space and nobody goes with him again. And I'm just, that's, to me, it was a horrific moment defending, because you've allowed him to stay on the keeper and marked, and then he's been able to pull away and kind of go into space. And again, nobody seems to have any idea who's supposed to be on Connolly as a attacker in that position. So just a couple of those moments were examples where, that just a little bit of sharpness can have such a massive effect in the game, because he should score.
Of course he should.
And that completely changes the game. But going the other side, as you said, we take one of those other chances you create, go 2-0 up, I think we're going away with 3 points.
It's difficult, because as much as I said, 25 minutes, we looked really, really good. And maybe it's just, we've all got subconsciously higher expectations of a sort of thing. But we were showing, we were like, actually, we are like Van Ayer, like, we've got some brand new assets. We've got a great bench. We've got players still to come back. But then there are other periods in the game, maybe the first 10 minutes, first 10, 15 minutes where it's the opposite of that period when we look really good. And suddenly I don't know, sometimes I watch us, and when it all clicks, that's the answer to sort of the question I'm about to ask, which is, because you see it work, you see, that's what we want to do. But there's other times where it feels like it goes Latibodier, so right centre-back to Fads, to Binks, to Fads, And I'm like, well, where's the, what's the next plan? Like, I'm like, what, you know, I think ideally if we can get a wing back really high up in space, great. But I'm like, where's the midfield? Like, I feel like Eccles and Kelly, or even when it was Sheaf and Eccles or whoever, they've got, someone's got to do a job of whether they don't just pass it straight back. Like, you know, yeah. What Hamer would do is he would get the ball, and yes, it's a risk, but he would turn, and on the half turn, suddenly, rather than being facing Ben Wilson again, he'd be facing their goalie. And suddenly that just, in that one little moment, being able to receive the ball and turn, because then he's got Ayari or whoever it is ahead of him. Now, Ayari was doing it, but I just wanted to see Kelly and Eccles do it. And then during that moment when we play well, they did do that. And you go, okay, that's fine. But the tendency we have, and we'll come on to second half now, is again, we actually had a period of 15, 20 minutes where Godden had a shot blocked and Kelly had a shot saved. And there was a couple of other moments where I wanted Hadji Wright to just do one touch shoot. And we didn't actually get chances because we were just still a bit clunky and it not coming together.
Yeah.
And then we make a couple of changes, which really surprised me in terms of the Ayari coming off for Palmer, because I think that position when we play two up top is monumentally important, you know, otherwise it feels like so disconnected. And from that moment, the momentum switched. And then what the tendency we seem to have is, I feel like we then just go within ourselves, and then we go back to trying to be, everything's ultra safe and not brave to turn and keep the, and suddenly we just give the ball away. And Robin's alluded to, he said, you know, we keep turning the ball over. And the problem is you do that and eventually you will get punished. And like you said earlier, Matt, I don't think, and I thought about this afterwards, obviously as annoying as it was to concede, I don't necessarily think we're defending any worse than last year, but I think it is just fine margins. I think there's games last year where we did keep a clean sheet, where actually on another game, they'd have probably scored and we wouldn't have kept a clean sheet. So far this season, we're not getting, I won't say rubber the green, but it is just fine margins. Those ones that were going wide, last year that Connolly header might go wide past the post, whereas this season they're going in, and we're just, and that then just highlights the lack of ruthlessness, doesn't it? You know, and then,
yeah, it could be a period of games as well. You know, we would have had periods last season where it would have felt like this as well, although it's hard to remember because largely the majority of the second half of the season, things did seem to go away. And there were definitely moments last season, certainly in that run in of games, maybe the last 3 months or so, where a lot of things went our way. You know, we were don't want to say lucky, but we were rather fortunate in terms of injuries, I guess, in the last few months, where a lot of our main important players didn't get injured. We obviously have had issues with injury last season, but a majority of the main important players to us didn't get injured. You know, when you have a moment like we had at Blackburn away, obviously you kind of get that impression that things are going your way, and maybe the rubber, the green, as you say, was kind of on our side. So, but we would have had spells, certainly maybe a little bit before that. I think after Christmas, early part of this year, we had a bit of a difficult period of time, but maybe I remember a few unfortunate situations there as well. So I think what's frustrating is the fact of, obviously, we are so close, fine margins of where we are at the moment as a football club. We could have just a little bit more sharpness, or maybe a little bit different decision making. When we got that goal, we could have gone 2-0 up and really controlled that game. We're probably allowing ourselves to be in a situation where we are vulnerable to fortune maybe going against us, and it costing us with regards to points. Because, you know, the header from Connolly, I don't know, I mean, it's a good header. It's an instinctive header. It's a decent finish, I guess you can say, but you're not going to have that happen every week, where somebody's backwards headering from like 15 yards out, and it kind of, I think more than anything, shocked Wilson. He didn't seem ready for the fact that, you know, he was going to obviously put an effort in goal from the situation he was in. So you're allowing, maybe at the minute, we're allowing ourselves to be caught out if those moments do go against us. Whereas once these players are all fully up to speed, I can see us kind of taking a situation like that against Hull on Friday night and saying, right, we've gone 1-0 up, we're maybe going to get a little bit more space now, like we did. We put nice passages of play together, and from one of those passages of play, we've got the players there to finish it off and put us a couple of goals ahead, and we can really control the game there versus a one goal lead where actually you're always still vulnerable, and these things can happen.
They do. And I think we just need to, I feel like on transitions, we've just been a bit sloppy. You know, like in the first half, we showed, and we've showed this season, that actually we can be a real threat. More than last season, we didn't really do it because of injuries and personnel. But like we've showed this season that, and against Hull, for periods of time, we can sort of pen them in. Do you know what I mean? And pass it around and look a real threat. But we need to retain the threat that we had on transition. But the problem is, when we're, you know, when a team's sort of penning us in a bit, because they're the home side, they're 1-0 down, we need to retain that ability to break. And there was a couple of moments, and again, this is just decision making. Like, so Hadji Wright had been taken off, Ellis Sims came on, and we'll get on to, like, you know, some of the critique that, you know, is all over social media on Sims. But there was one where a nice little play, I think it was Palmer, flicked around to Sims, and he was running, and Van Avac absolutely was just bombing, like overlapping on the right, and he was pointing where he wanted it, and Sims didn't use him and just continued trying to run. I don't know where he thought he was, on, like if he thought he was like one-on-one or something, and then tried to play this ball to Palmer. Palmer's on his heels, and then they break, and you think we've gone from a real good opportunity there. And that's that ruthlessness. It's the decision-making. And I think, and then the problem was, it just sort of fizzled out, because every time we give the ball away, it just comes back. Do you know what I mean? They then attack again. They'd keep the ball for another 5 minutes and press us in, and balls in the box. And last season we were very, very good at the transition, and I'm not necessarily saying we were really good with the ball. I think it was just a case we had a striker called Jokeres, who literally would just bully, like it would chase a lost cause and somehow make something out of nothing. I don't think we were any better necessarily with the quick break passing. I still think we were probably as sloppy as we were against Hull, but we had a striker who just he'd make a 50-50 in his favour all the time. So we just got to work on those little things, haven't we? But I do want to talk and ask you about Ellis Sims. Obviously, he's had not the start that, you know, he'd have wanted. Obviously, no goals. I mean, Hadji Wright's only got one, but a lot of fans have been quite critical. He seems to be the signing who's got the, you know, he's going to have to overcome the sort of criticism. A bit like Ben Sheaf did when we signed him, you know, permanent. People were a bit like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is he overthinking it? Does he need, obviously you need a goal, but what do you make of the criticism? Do you think it's fair? Is it, you know, it's a bit early, isn't it? Sort of, you know, to be hammering, you know, a player.
Absolutely. I mean, 6 games in, but you think it's not 6 games in because he's been coming off the bench for a majority of those games as well. So I don't exactly know how much game time it's been for him, but 6 games in, if he'd have started every minute and you know, had the same stats as he does now, it'd be a bit more worrying, obviously, but it still wouldn't be cause for writing him off as a player. I think he's shown across his still relatively short career, overall, like he has enough quality to be a force for us at championship level, no doubt. So, yeah, people writing him off, 100%, that's ridiculous at this stage. I don't think, obviously, he can be completely shielded of criticism of his performances when he's come on. So there's definitely stuff for him to work on. I think, yeah, it's a fair point to say possibly he's overthinking it. You know, he's maybe one of those players whereby, I mean, he's had starts, hasn't he? And obviously he hasn't scored in those games as well. So you can't say, oh, I'm sure if he starts a game, he's going to bang 2 or 3 goals in, because he's had that opportunity. He's not done it. But maybe he's one of those players who he's got to get his career going with the football club, and bringing him on for 20, 25 minutes, certainly in a game where we're playing against Hull on the road, difficult game, and we're 1-0.
And we've lost the momentum.
The focus. Exactly.
At that point, he comes on.
And the focus isn't to score a goal at that point. Obviously, there is an element of a focus to always score a goal. That's, you know, that would be a pretty obvious statement. But at that moment, the focus is win the game, and we're already in position to win the game. So it's a different proposition to him as it would be in a game where, you know, we need to chase it. We need to go out and get a goal. So I'm not, this isn't something to say we can totally protect his performances and say he doesn't need to do better. I just think, yeah, there is an element of overthinking it. Maybe it's not really played into his hands in terms of when he's been coming on in games. I'm still very confident that we've got a great player in Ellis Sims.
He's 22 years old, isn't he? People forget. I think some fans, genuinely, because he looks like older with his beard, and I think some fans think he's like 26, 27. really do.
Plus, he's done things in his career, hasn't he? You know, he's been on loan at a few different clubs. So you see these highlights.
7 goals in 15 games.
He's been at Sunderland and he's been at Hearts, I think it was. And he might have been somewhere. Was it Blackpool as well? And then you see he scored at Stamford Bridge. And you kind of think that looks like the body of work is somebody probably is in their mid-20s. But yeah, it's and yeah, you mentioned the beard as well. But yeah, he's still a very young striker. And I think you flip it on its head and you say, well, actually, you see all these highlights of goals he scored at all of those clubs at the age of 22. Very brief opportunity for Everton in the Premier League, but he still made his mark and had an impact. So definitely there's a striker in there who can be a valuable player for us. I think it's just a case of, take a little bit of pressure off his own shoulders that he's putting himself, hopefully by getting a goal at some stage, and then just relaxing into his Coventry City's career. It kind of feeds into the conversation we're having around competition as well. You know, again, any season over the last 15, certainly, maybe even 20 years, if you come in for 3.5 million plus add-ons, you are starting 100% nailed on, and you're 6 games in, you would have played, you know, 6 games, basically, largely the full way through. And now it shows where we've come as a club, where if you maybe aren't quite on it straight away, then you've got options off the bench, and you also will get replaced and you'll be the option off the bench, and you need to find a way to kind of work yourself back into the team. So yeah, it's not been the start that he would have wanted, and there's definitely work to do. We can't shield him from total criticism because he hasn't performed as well as he should have done in the time that he's had on the pitch, but also I'm confident there's a valuable striker for us.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think he's been a bit unfortunate with sort of, I don't think he's had a real clear chance. I mean, people forget in pre-season he was banging all the goals in, so we know he can finish. You know, you look at the Watford game, if Hadji Wright slips him in and instead of trying to shoot, he potentially then takes it in a stride, scores the winning goal at the CBS in a 4-3 win, and we all go, that's the moment. I think it's just not falling for him. I just don't think he's had a chance, like a real golden chance where you go, okay, he's taking it in stride and shoot. He makes a lot of runs, Sims, and people don't see him. People don't pass it to him. And obviously, so then, and the fans don't see it because the ball never goes through to him. Then the fans go, oh, he didn't do anything. It's like, he's trying to make these runs. But yeah, I agree with you. I think he's going to be a very good player. And I look forward to, and that brings me nicely on to this Friday. There are tickets still available for a Meet the Players event. Myself and Dino will be speaking with Matty Godden and Ellis Sims, who we've just been talking about, at the Dylan's Brewery this time. Usually they're at the Sky Blue Tavern, but there's the event sort of venue is sold out to another means. So it is at the brewery where we all enjoy our pre-match sort of pint. So head over to the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery social media pages, and then you can book your tickets for an evening with myself, Dino, Ellis Sims, and Matty Godden as well. And there's going to be a quiz and raffle and all sorts of good things, and obviously plenty of beer and some food available as well. So make sure you check that out on Friday. And I think it'll be good to be able to, Ellis Sims, to feel some love from the fans. And I think, you know, the last event when we had Hadji Wright, I think he really appreciated, you know, the fans singing. So should be another great evening. And looking forward to getting to know Ellis Sims a little bit more and, you know, hear from the man himself. Back to the game, just to round up and finish off the game, finish 1-1. But I do want to touch on, obviously we spoke about the goal, but then there was an incident on the halfway line. Louis Binks looked like, from when you were watching it, Matt, what did you make of it? I mean, obviously live, I was sort of switching between looking at play, you know, because the ref had gone with the play and then there was a yellow card. I can't even remember who did that foul. But obviously they were breaking, and then I think it was Connolly, wasn't it? Someone was holding Binks, and he was obviously out of position trying to get back. And then he turns around and seems to, I think he's quite a lucky boy personally, because he does give him a slap maybe.
Doesn't look great when you watch it back, does it? It's one of those, you kind of, because play's going on, you don't really stop and think about it during the actual game. But when you see it back afterwards, it doesn't look great. I know people are saying, he's having his arm held and he's just trying to get free and whatever else. I guess that's quite possible, but yeah, he's a bit fortunate. Am I right in saying, I mean, it was a bit of a whirlwind at that time. I think pretty much everybody on the pitch for us got booked, but he did get booked for that in the end,
yes,
didn't he?
I think so. I mean, because Rossini then sort of, you know, was going apoplectic in the dugout. And it's so funny watching Robbins. He was just literally a statue on the corner of the dugout. Literally stands there, arms folded, like no emotion, just nothing. And Rossini then got booked. I think Binks did, because he must have, because obviously all the officials have comms and stuff, and someone must have seen what was going on, because because then Binks got pushed over by another Hull player, and then he dived like salmon over. It was all just some one big sort of clusterfuck, wasn't it, really, at that point? But but what that I liked about Binks there, and I briefly mentioned his performance, because I thought he did settle in, but that showed a side to his character that it sort of surprised me. You know, this maybe because he just looks like a really nice sort of friendly guy. You don't necessarily think he's got that sort of that dark side to him, but actually I thought he was up for the battle, you know. And so I was impressed, and I think it gives us that other option, doesn't it?
It's an important game for him, because obviously he's not had really much of an opportunity to this point, and we almost settled into a routine of the back three before then, and you know, he's kind of waiting already for potential injuries and suspenses to get into the side. And then he sees, obviously, we go out and sign somebody else for a big amount of money, and he knows straight away that has to drop him down the pecking order. So it was, I'm sure personally for him, a massive game to try and set a mark of what he can do. And I think centre half is going to be, obviously, it's always a massively important position, but you're going to need those reinforcements throughout the course of a season, because if we play with three, obviously you lose one, and then you're already down to, you know, potentially a three and one sub. So, and if we do potentially look at what we might do with Latabodière as well, if there is that conversation around him moving up the pitch, then that really pushes that conversation forward in itself. So it was an important game for him, and I agree. I think it showed we've got somebody there who you could rely on coming in to, firstly, be up for the fight, which is what you want to see. Certainly in that area of the pitch, you want somebody who's got that bit of guile to them and not afraid to get themselves stuck in, and some moments of real quality in defence as well, to the extent where you say, do you know what, if there is a requirement for him to come into the side, I don't expect that he's going to be a first choice at any point, but if he does need to come into the side, I'd be more than confident for him to do so. You know, there was enough about his performance for me to say, I'd be quite comfortable to see him, you know, starting for us at stages of the season, as I'm sure he'll have to do.
Certainly. And he did show second half a couple of really nice passes.
There was a real moment with the chance we had for a Godden, I think it ended up being, but it started from a really good tackle from Binks, which allowed us to break. And there's definitely enough moments for him to be positive.
And so then let's finish off, Matt. Who's your man of the match from the game? Who would you go with?
I would go with Latabodière, just because getting the goal, I think, again, he's performed really well for us so far since coming into the club, being a really important player. I don't think there was anybody who massively stood head and shoulders above anybody else. You know, there were a few people. I think Van Uyck was a positive for us again. I think, you know, Haji Wright showed moments again of why he's going to be a big signing for us, and I think have a big future for us. But he maybe had a few moments where you're like, oh, things could have just gone a bit different. De Silva again, very solid, but maybe a few moments as well. And I think a nod to what you said earlier as well in terms of Liam Kelly, you know, came in and did exactly what you'd hope him to do as an experienced player. So I don't know that there was anybody who massively stood out to the extent where you say you'd have to go with them. So I'd probably lean towards Latabodière as a defender to obviously get the goal and give him that moment.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
So we don't have to wait long for the Sky Blues' next game. Back in action on Tuesday night against Cardiff City, who will be going into the game full of confidence, finally ending their sort of rotten run in the Wales derby, beating Swansea on Saturday night. 2-0 goals from Ollie Tanner and Aaron Ramsey penalty. It's a place where we got our first away win last season, Matt, when we went up to Cardiff. Obviously, that was a Saturday. We've gone back to this customary dark midweek night up there. It's a game that, look, we've had one defeat, one win, four draws. We do want to get a win. And if we could go there and get 3 points, I think it'd make the whole point look really good in the grand scheme of things. It's a game that you could conceivably see being a draw, although I'm already getting bored of draws. But what are your thoughts? How do you feel going into this game? Are you confident? What are you expecting?
It's a difficult one to call. They've only drawn one game, I think, this season. It was the first game of the season against Leeds. And even that game, they'd be horrified to have drawn it because they were 2-0 up going into, I think, late in the game, and I think certainly the equaliser was in injury time. So for them, draws is not something which has been a regular occurrence. There seems to be a lot of goal mouth action at either end of the pitch with regards to Cardiff, to 10 goals for and against. So across the course of 6 games, there's been a lot of action in their matches. And as you say, they're coming into the game off the back of a really big performance and a really big result for them in terms of that win against Swansea, which obviously, as you say, hasn't been an easy game for them in recent years. So it's an interesting one. I think the same amount of points as they're one place below us in the table, 7 points as well, but got there in a very different way to us, whereas they either look, obviously a strong team with their victories and potentially could have gone to Leeds on the opening day and got a win. But also there's been some really bad performances in there and some negative losses as well. So a really hard team to call from the perspective of who's going to play as well. They've got a really big squad, and they're kind of obviously the big name, the real standout is obviously going to be Aaron Ramsey coming to the club and obviously ticking that box for him as a boyhood dream, I guess, playing for Cardiff City. It's gone well so far. He's got a good few goals to his name as well. So, but if you look past that, you look and you kind of think there's names that you've heard of, definitely, as a fan of a Championship club. A lot of people who've played at this level for a long time, but not a lot of players where you're saying, they're on the cusp of going on to do great things necessarily at the moment. You've got O'Dowda or Callum Robinson or Carlin Grant or Josh Bowler maybe is one that you might look at, but he's possibly going to be injured. And Yaku Maite and people like this, all people who've played at this level quite a lot, but maybe in a lot of those cases are on the downward curve of their career as well. So it makes it hard to call because this probably leads into the fact that there's a lot of goal mouth action. It generally ends up being, one way or the other for them, because these are talented players or people who have been talented, but also are maybe on the backward step of their career. Yes. So I think there's going to be, it's one of those that could go either way. I am a bit nervous because of that. And I'm a bit nervous with the fact that they're coming in, obviously, on the back of that big result, although there could be a little bit of a hangover for that as well.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I actually, because I'm glad they won, because I think, they'd gone to Ipswich before the international break, were 2-0 up, lost 3-2. They went to Leicester, We're going to get a point, conceded in the 96th minute. They weren't getting the results that, they'd had some poor performances in there, but they were also not probably on looking worse off than what their performances had possibly merited. And my concern was if they lose to Swansea or something, then they're almost certain that it's going to click, when they play us. So I'm actually quite glad. And also Mark Robbins cannot use the, we've had a day less because we've had a day more to prepare. Yeah. So there's no excuses. The next two games he can't because Huddersfield play on Wednesday. So I'm the same as you. I think they're a bit of an unknown quantity. I think the manager is also one, and he seems to often when you get like a, you know, foreign manager, someone who no one really knows, sometimes it all feels like quite early on it sort of falls apart. He actually seems like they've got quite a good spirit there. Like, you know, a lot of the new players have signed new deals and committed to the club and obviously committed to the project that they've got going on there. And I think the supporters are, you know, a good friend of mine is a Cardiff fan, and he sort of feels like, you know, the last 2 years have just been pretty dire and drab. And actually it feels like they've got a bit of freshness. So I don't think they're going to be, and then he expects them to sort of be probably any better than, you know, top half, or top half sort of mid table. But I think that they've certainly improved a lot than they were last year. I don't think they're going to be involved in a relegation scrap or anything like that. And like you say, they've got players there who, if they can find their way again, find their feet. Carlin Grant was a £15 million player a few years ago. He's lost his way and hasn't looked very impressive. But then you sort of go, well, there's got to be a reason why he went there. Same with Callum Robinson. So they've got some good depth. And centre mid, they've got a load of depth. And I sort of wish we had that sort of depth, really.
This is the big question. For me, I don't know, I'd be keen to get your thoughts on it. Touching back on something you said earlier on in the podcast, obviously, around Ayari and around transitional part of the pitch as well. And then you look at a game like this against Cardiff, where they do potentially have a relatively strong centre midfield. You know, they had Rawls on the bench on Saturday night as their captain. It shows you they're not going to do that. This possibly, apologies if I've missed something with an injury, but you're not going to do that if you haven't got depth, you haven't got people that you can rely on and you think are obviously quality players. So I think it's massively important, that midfield battle, as it always is. It sounds really obvious to say, but what do you think around Ayari? I know we touched on it earlier. I know he's massively impressed in that kind of ability to create space and maybe find a person and things which maybe lead a bit more to playing a bit further up the pitch. But for me, it's massively important that we have that level of quality in centre midfield, because it's what we've obviously been able to rely on over the last couple of seasons with Hamer. I'm not suggesting he's going to be a direct replace for Hamer at the minute, but he's 19. You've seen enough, or I've seen enough in him to think he has got the ability to help us from that transitional perspective. In terms of maybe, you know, we talk about the fact the back three have seemed a little unsure of what to do. I think there's a big game plan to obviously attack out wide with the likes of Anuwik and De Silva are dangerous players. Maybe they're looking at centre midfield, even with Ben Sheaf in there, and thinking, have we got somebody that I'm going to play the ball to in centre midfield who can maybe get the ball, nice touch, turn away, go, and set things up from that perspective?
It's interesting, isn't it? I've thought about this long and hard. I wonder, it's good to have options. The only way, I do agree. I think, you know, he showed actually a lot more tenacity off the ball than I'd seen, you know, in his other cameos. Clearly on the ball, his talents can't be questioned.
Yeah.
But like you say, in those moments to be able to turn a player, you know, he did that turn against Watford, you know, where he just absolutely sold everybody for a hot dog sort of thing. That having that ability, suddenly you're on the front foot. It's a tricky one, because I sort of go, does Robbins want to go to the box? Because with Callum O'Hare's back, you look at it and go, could you have O'Hare and Ayari in front of, say, a Kelly and an Eccles? Because then those two can just sit. Mm-hmm. And then you can push Van Avac, you can push De Silva up. I mean, and we know how much Robbins loves the box. Like he loves that formation sort of thing. And it's a tricky one, because I'm sort of excited at the prospect of Ayari and Palmer. You know, you've got Sakamoto there as well. So it's interesting, but I do agree. I sort of think... Sometimes
it's really important who goes with him. That's the big thing, isn't it? You know, he's not going to be your... I'm actually good friends with somebody who's a Brighton fan, and I kind of got a little bit of a heads up on him when he came into the club. And I know he hasn't played a lot for them in the first team, but from the conversation I had with him, he's not your kind of tenacious ball-winning midfielder by any account. But he is somebody who will cover ground. He will go after trying to win the ball back and can do a job which leads itself to centre midfield. But do you think maybe it raises the question of who obviously would go alongside him? Is that the important question? There is an element of luxury in having him in centre midfield. If he was with a Chief, you'd probably feel that that would... fit quite nicely. Now, we're not going to have Xi if he was to go into that area. I don't know. Who do you think, if it were to happen, would be ideal to go alongside
him? It's a tricky one, isn't it? I just think with Robbins, I just don't think, unless he completely trusts, because even with Eccles and Kelly on Friday, there's moments where when we're sitting back, our wing backs are deep and we've just got a flat back five. Those two centre mids then are having to cover so much ground. And they also, and that's their goal came from it when our Cam Palmer at the time didn't get out. That role is so important, because otherwise we got two centre mids who are having to cover the whole width of the pitch, basically. So it's a tricky one. I do think Allen is going to be massively important. I could see him playing Allen, Eccles and Ayari, because with Allen, he trusts him. He knows he will run until he drops, sort of thing. Yeah. And he's got that energy. It's a really tricky one, because then I'm like, when I interviewed Haji Wright, he said he actually thinks he prefers playing with a partner. So I'm like, well, okay, that's what we're not. Doesn't rule it out, but it makes you think, well, maybe he's not going to be a lone striker in the box. But then you've got Sakamoto, Palmer, O'Hare, Ayari. I mean, if we only play one Cam, only one of them can play. So unless it's a tricky one, isn't it? Does he move Ayari into centre mid to get O'Hare and Palmer, one of them starting? Or does he play the box, but then he drops right, let's say, and he has Godden at the top, or Sims? I actually sort of think Sims will benefit. My prediction is O'Hare gets back in the team and Sims then starts scoring a lot of goals, because O'Hare will draw the fouls and feed it through. I want to see Sims making those runs and Ayari picking them out. I want to see it. So it's exciting. And it's good to have that sort of headache, isn't it? But I think the issue is, I think my concern is if off the ball defensively he's not on it, then suddenly you leave Eccles completely exposed then. And that's the only concern. So it's going to be interesting. What do you think it'll do? What do you think it'll do? So I guess that's one conundrum. But the other one is the centre backs. Do you think he played Binks with an eye for this game? Do you think he'll go with the same back three? What do you think he'll do?
I think he'll probably stick with it, but it's so hard to call now. I don't think Kitchen's going to come in. If we're looking at who might play in that back three from the start for this game, I think he's obviously made it, or I personally believe he's made a decision that Kitchen maybe isn't quite up to speed yet. Obviously, he only came in right at the end of the transfer window. And he's, even though he had that 2 week period to kind of obviously progress, it still puts him a lot further behind the rest of the squad. And I'm sure, obviously, we spend that amount of money on a player. I don't think it'll be too long before he comes back in, but we've got to think this is a quick turnaround. You're not going to have that much time to work on things from a different perspective, you know, changing game plans and everything else. You're only going to have a short period of time. So I don't think there's enough time to say that Kitchen comes back in on a Tuesday if he didn't feel comfortable with him starting on a Friday, when obviously he wanted to maybe give Thomas a rest, or tactically, you know, leave him out the side and brought Binks in. So from that perspective, I think he probably will start with the same back three, because if he was going to make that change, I would have said he'd have done it on Friday, versus now you've got a couple of days to turn around. You're going to have to completely start, or not completely start again, but obviously, you know, make quite a few changes and try and account for that. But you don't know with Robbins, and there is so much competition. I wouldn't be shocked to see Kitchen start now. I've said that because, you know, he has brought him in for big money, so it's going to happen at some point, hopefully. And also Thomas, you know, we're not ruling Thomas out. It might have been a thing to say, maybe there was an element of a message made there, you know, if you don't quite perform to the level that you should be performing, we've got options and we can't allow people to drop off to that level. Yes. So maybe he sent a message, and I wouldn't rule out any of them, but I think we'll probably, just given the fact that it is a short turnaround, I think we'll probably start with the same back three.
I agree. I think that's probably what he'll do. Can you envisage any other changes?
I probably don't think we will, just again, going back to the point of it's a short turnaround. And I think if he was going to make any changes, they're quite, what's the way of putting this? I don't think there's any natural changes that lead itself to something that isn't quite a big deal for us at the minute, if that makes sense. So we might have said in the past, you know, you make a change, you bring somebody in who's already been established for a long period of time, and you kind of know what you're getting by making that change. Whereas at the minute, if we really break down what changes he might make, they'd probably be unproven changes, or maybe changes that haven't had the time to blend in. So I'm really hopeful that we haven't completely disregarded, as you probably guessed from my very leading question before, I'm very hopeful that we haven't given up on the fact of Ayari having an impact as centre midfield. And certainly now that obviously Sheaf has gone out, there's positions then that need to be filled. But I don't see there being any possibility of that happening on Tuesday night for sure, because that's too big of a question mark to do that on a short turnaround from what he's played on Friday night. So I don't really see there being much chance that he changes too much, to be honest with you. I think obviously the wing backs probably pick themselves if everybody's fit. I think centre midfield, again, going into this one with a short turnaround, Liam Kelly did enough to say, you know, he's obviously still on it to the extent that you'd like his experience in there, maybe to account for the fact that we've had to make a change short lead. Maybe you say that there might
Jamie
be
Allen.
Something we'd look to do. Do you think it's still maybe a case of blending him back in? I think he's probably put him on the bench with the thought of, yes, you might get on, but I'd have been shocked to see him come on Friday night.
Really? I was shocked really he surprised. Didn't come on, because I thought there's no way Kelly is going to be like, because I just thought, obviously it proved to be you to be right, really, and he didn't, obviously didn't come on. Maybe he isn't quite ready yet. I just sort of thought his energy in Kelly, I mean, can Kelly play 290 minutes?
You know, but that's probably, I think, is what makes me think the fact that he didn't come on would make me think that he's probably not quite ready. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised the next level of progression for him is obviously being on the bench again and then coming on at some stage of this game. Yeah. But I don't necessarily see him starting on the back of, obviously, a very serious situation for him from a health perspective. And, yeah, that game on Friday night, you'd have said it would have made sense for him to come on. And the fact that he hasn't, to me, suggests we know that Robbins isn't afraid of potentially putting someone on the bench and saying, look, in worst case scenarios, I'll potentially, you'll put you on in 5-10 minutes towards the end of the game. But it might still be the case that they're not quite there. And I don't think he's quite there to start. I'd probably say now there's a fairly decent chance that he might come on during this game. Obviously depends on how the game goes, but and I think going to your point, I think it definitely makes sense in terms of what's happened with the squad and Sheaf for him to be involved for sure. But I just don't think he's quite ready yet.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And obviously up front, another player who, again, whose injury record isn't necessarily the best. Matty Godden's played every second of every minute of every game. He seems very reluctant to sort of take him off and have, you know, we haven't had Wright and Sims. I mean, they've been on the pitch together for briefly, but Godden's still been on and played as like a cam or something. So, you know, the first few games of the season, he was like almost swapping. You know, you'd give Wright a start, then Sims. Wright start the last two. Mm. I think, you know, as a striker, it'd be important that you keep getting those games. I mean, do you think he'll start Wright and Godden again? I mean, at what point do you think you might have Sims and Wright? Well, like, because I love Matty Godden, but... Mm. He'd probably be the first to say, you know, that he has had a few sort of like, yeah, and they've probably been freak injuries, but you want him to keep fresh, you know, and it's almost like, I don't know what Robin's reluctance is to, you know, because he could have taken Godden off with 10 minutes to go on Friday. I'm not sure what harm that would have caused.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think Wright looked probably more tired, but it's an interesting one, isn't it? And with a tight turnaround.
Yeah.
Because how do you build up the confidence of, say, ultimately, down the line, you think it's going to be Wright and Sims is going to be our long-term, you know, beyond this season striking partnership.
Yeah.
How do you build that in? I mean, I know it's early days in the season, but if he's not going to give them the time.
Yeah, it's quite surprising to me that we haven't seen them play together. But as you say, he clearly, as a partnership, thinks Godden's very integral. Yes. To being one of the two who's involved. I'm sure there will come a point, and a very good point that you make, Godden playing every minute so far. He has had injuries. He's not getting any younger. He's got past that, you know, magical 30 barrier. There's going to be a point, probably not too far away, whereby, you're going to think you might need to give him a rest. But then you wouldn't be surprised if he said, right, I'm going to start with one and maybe play a bit more of a box behind or and two attacking midfielders. So I'm sure at some point it's going to come where we see Wright and Sims play together and we'll see what they can do together. I just don't quite think it's going to be this game. And you'll probably stick with Wright and Godden. If I actually thought there might be a change across the pitch, I would say it would be that he might go to two in support of a lone striker. And that might happen. I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen. But if it doesn't, then I'd say it will probably be the same kind of setup as we saw on Friday night.
And who would that be? Palmer in, would you imagine? Palmer and Ayari?
Yes. If he was to change and go with the two in support, then I'd say Palmer and Ayari, yeah. I think probably it will stay the same, but yeah, that would probably be the one area, I think, if there was going to be a change, it might be that we looked to, because obviously we're not necessarily blowing teams away in terms of the number of goals that we're scoring. And we obviously have got a bit of a situation now with Ben Sheaf. And we possibly had that come up midway through our preparations for the game against Hull on Friday. I know it's a short turnaround, but whether it be this game, maybe it might lead on to Huddersfield then, because obviously I don't think we play them until the following Monday. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point across those two games, whether it be this one or the next one, if we do go to two in support of a lone striker.
And just quickly then, Matt, a prediction for the game on Tuesday?
I am a bit nervous. I think we're probably just going to come out the wrong side of a five goal. I don't want to say classic, but a five goal thriller. I think it might be. I think it will be an entertaining game. I can see us taking positives out of the game, hopefully, in terms of, you know, maybe some of the strikers getting on the score sheet and I don't know, kind of some of the individual performances, but I just have a bad feeling about this one. So I'm going to lean towards a 3-2 Cardiff.
Oh, to be fair, I have a bit of a bad feeling as well. I think it's if it had been on a Saturday, I'd sort of believe it's something about midweek. We don't ever seem to do particularly well at Cardiff.
It's a bit of a journey as well. It always seems to be a bit of a struggle when we go long distances on a... That's probably more on us than it is the club, but we've obviously been led there by results. So.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're both wrong and we get a positive result. But that's all we've got time for this podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening as always. And obviously, we're sponsored by Dylan's Brewery and the Sky Blue Tavern. And again, this Friday, the 22nd of September, there is the Meet the Players event with Ellis Sims and Matty Godden live at Dylan's Brewery. Go and check it out. Tickets are still available. And make sure you follow us at SBE Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.